good afternoon again. We have made a slight change to the panel, and we're ready to consider the last matter on the dock today. I believe all you good folks were here during the previous explanation, so I'm not going to bore you with another round of it. Council, you may proceed. We are here, but by the way, just for the record, we are here on the in the interest of AJL, AJC, and QDJW. That is correct, is it not?
Yes.
All right, Council, you may proceed.
Good afternoon. As the court is aware, since you've read the briefs, the facts in this case would take me several days just to get on the record here, so I will just go over a couple of points that I think are very important. One is that
Council, would you enter our appearance so we know?
Oh, I'm sorry. Please. Judith Carlson, attorney number 19456.
Thank you.
The mother in this case was given a treatment plan when the children were taken out of the home. She complied with every part of that treatment plan except paying foster care fees, which she couldn't do because she was unemployed and then became pregnant. But other than that, she complied with everything that was on the plan. The children were out of the home for about 3 months when she moved to Montana in order to get treatment for substance abuse. The program there was one that she felt that she could work with, and it got her away from the people that she had been associating with in Clear Creek County.
Now, before she moved to Montana in May of 2007, had she complied with any of the treatment plan requirements that were imposed in November of 2006?
No, she had hit and miss on a couple of things, but had until she got drug treatment, she didn't comply substantially with the plan at all. During the spring of 2007, she had several visits with the children and the social worker, which went fine. Once she moved to Montana, other than a visit before there was an interactional so that the youngest child would know who she was, there were no further visits. She requested visits, and when I became counsel on the case, which was in June of 2008, I filed a motion for visitation, which was denied by the court.
Counsel, let me interrupt you just a minute and ask, can you give us the age of, there are only two children involved in this case, right?
There is a third child, but he's not part of this.
Not a part of this case, and that's the newborn?
No, there's actually four children altogether.
Right.
But there was one other child that was involved and is now a separate case.
And the two children involved in this case, what are their ages?
At the time that they were taken away, I believe it was 10 months and 3 years. 13 months and 3 years.
Thank you.
After the mother moved to Montana, she enrolled in the substance abuse program. She enrolled in individual counseling. She enrolled in NA and AA treatment. She then, once the father of one of the children moved up to Montana, she went to couples counseling with him and anger management counseling. She completed all of those programs, as did father. They went together to a lot of them. Individual therapy was obviously individual.
Were any of those programs provided by the Montana Family Services or Department of Human Services?
No, they were provided by the Southwest Chemical Dependency Program, which is a contract agency of the Montana Department of Social Services. At one point, the Department of Social Services from Montana sent a letter to Clear Creek County, saying if they requested services, they could provide them, but that the county would have to request them. They couldn't just provide them on their own.
And the county in Colorado failed to do so?
Yes.
And was the county, the Department of Social Services in Clear Creek advised that she was getting this treatment in Montana?
Oh, they talked to the therapists with some regularity. She reported in as she was supposed to. They had a lot of conversations with the two therapists that were dealing with both parents. The reports from the therapists up there were at first encouraging, and after a few months, they basically said, and this is in the transcript of the trial, that she was the best client that they had ever had come through their program. She became a peer leader in the AA program that they have there. She graduated from all of the programs that she was in, and the father went through the same programs with her.
That's my understanding from reading the record that the people who were expressing these opinions were alcohol or substance abuse counselors, and they weren't necessarily family counselors. Is that correct?
Well, one of them, I think, specializes in substance abuse, but they're both trained social workers. I mean, they both have social work degrees. And the other one has, Sheila has moved on to some other kind of social work other than just the alcohol dependency program. But they're graduate social workers. They have master's degrees in social work. And they were recognized at the trial as experts in alcohol therapy. And the programs that they have for the anger management for domestic violence and the program that they had for the couples counseling were not necessarily alcohol related. It's a social service agency, and they provide that kind of thing. The alcohol and drug programs were specifically for drug dependent people. The second point that I'd like to make is that in addition to there being no visits, it was testified to at the trial that out-of-state visits could have been arranged, that they're arranged for other people. She came back to Colorado a lot and volunteered to come back anytime they wanted her to come visit with the children, but no visits were allowed after she moved to Montana except for right before she had the interaction with Q, the youngest child, because he wasn't really old enough to even remember her, and they had been separated for about 6 months at that point.
Were there requests by the mother to have visitation in Colorado after she moved to Montana?
Yeah, according to both Donna Delich and Sheila Kircher, the therapists that were dealing with her, they would have phone calls with Amber and the social worker in Clear Creek County, and that she regularly requested that she be allowed to see the children, and those requests were denied.
Now, when we say regularly, is there anything in the record about how and when those requests were made in this, a year and a half period of time from May 2007 until the termination hearing in January of this year?
I believe, as close as I can come to what they said, it was frequently. I don't think they had actual dates, but she was calling in, I think on a monthly basis. She may have missed 1 month, but sometimes she called more than once during a month. There was an order from the court in June of 2007 saying she should have visitation once a week and possibly twice if the department could arrange it. That never happened. The worker sent a letter to the court saying I'm cutting off visitation in July, even though she had cut it off a couple of months earlier, due to the fact that the mother had missed a visitation and a counseling session that was supposed to happen before the visitation. The letter said that if she remained drug-free, if her UAs were clean, if she went into therapy, and if she was willing to have this counseling session beforehand, she could begin visitation again. She did those things other than the counseling, because there was no visitation set up, so there was no counseling that could happen right before the visitation. This was like a pre-visit, you know, do this, do that, and then they would talk afterwards, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that kind of thing. So there had to be a visit around which that worked.
Did you go back to court and ask for enforcement of that order? June of 07, you said the order was entered.
Yeah.
Then she moved to Montana.
Well, she moved to Montana before the order was entered. The order was from a hearing that happened in March, but the judge didn't sign it until June the 7th.
And so did she go back to court to try to get that order and the visitation enforced?
There was no motion ever filed until I got in the case.
A year later.
It was her testimony that she had asked at hearings, but there was never any motion until I filed a motion for it. Also, as far as the visits, the worker admitted that there was no fear of any harm to the children if visits happened. It was based on physical harm. It was based on them saying they thought it would be emotional harm if visits happened.
Ms. Carlson, just to follow up on my colleague's question, it's not the normal course of events, is it, that parents file motions to enforce orders? They generally expect that the county services are going to follow those orders, don't they?
Yeah, and I at the trial, I asked the worker, I said, were you aware of this order? And she said, they come into our office. And I said, well, were you aware of this particular order? And she couldn't remember whether she was or not. The second point that I would like to bring up is that one of the criterion for termination of parental rights is that the parent is not fit to parent at the time of the hearing, and that's very clear in the statute. They use is, not was or will be. And then the third part is the conduct or condition of the parent is unlikely to change within a reasonable time. The court has to make that determination. Ms. Livingston was ready to parent these children as soon as a plan could be developed for the children to meet with her. I mean, no one was saying they should be turned over to her the next day. I mean, that has to be a gradual thing where she has visits, she has overnights, and people see how things go.
Since this argument is being recorded, let's just refer to the mother, if we could, without use of her name.
I'm sorry. Mother had proven that she could take care of the new child she had, which at that point she was over a year old. She was observed by Dr. Hammack in parenting that child. Both of the social workers in Montana had observed her parenting the child and said that she did a good job on parenting the child. There were no concerns. The Department of Social Services here, or Human Services here, had called Montana and asked them to do a welfare check on the new baby when it was young. They found no cause for concern when they went out there.
Counsel, let me interrupt you. Your time is running short, and I want to ask you this question. What your opinion is as to the obligation, if any, that the Colorado Department of Human Services has in continuing to try to reunify the family after mother moved to Montana? And what's the basis for your opinion?
I think that they have a duty to try and reunify within the bounds of what they can do. Obviously, they're here and she's there, but the services were available to her in Montana, and they just weren't the department here wasn't willing to accept what the people up there were saying. As far as the out-of-state visits, that is done. It's not that this would be anything terribly unusual for them to have out-of-state visits. She was willing to come back for the visits, and she also stated that if necessary, once she had completed this whole program, she was willing to move back to Colorado if that would mean that she could get her children back. She felt better about being in Montana because she had no connections with any drug people or any bad characters there. But as far as what went on in Colorado, if she came back, she would not have been able to live where she used to live. She would have to go to some other area of the state, which also would have made things difficult.
Thank you.
Counsel, did you ever ask to transfer this case to Montana?
Did I ever ask?
Did the mother ever ask to transfer this case to Montana?
We asked informally at a meeting, but they said it had to be before they would take it, the children had to be there, and they were not unwilling to move the children.
The department was unwilling to move the children to Montana?
Yeah.
May it please the court, my name is Sue Tebow. I'm the Assistant County Attorney for Clear Creek County, Colorado. Also with me today is Ann Parmley, who is the guardian ad litem on this case, and she's going to be not using any of our time today, but free to answer any of the court's questions if I'm unable to do so. Your Honor, I thank you for this time to appear before you today. We only requested this time to clear up any confusion the court may have and answer any of the court's questions. I really am going to rely on our response to the petition for the most part. I would like to, with that in mind, I would like to address a couple of things that the court has just questioned. And I did want to clarify that Southwest Chemical Dependency referred to in the previous argument is a independent agency. It is not aligned with the state of Montana. And even though they are sometimes contracted by Montana to assist in their cases, they were not in this case. It was not through Montana Department of Human Services.
Did you have some reason to believe that this mother was not getting acceptable treatment?
For the substance abuse, she was, Your Honor. I believe she was.
And so at least for purposes of making a change to a responsible parent, didn't make any difference. Did it, whether it was the state of Montana or it was a independent outfit?
No, but I think there's been some confusion created over that issue as to whether Montana was the one actually working with the mother in this instance or not, and they were not.
I mean, in some respects, I suppose it had to impress the department that the mother in this case was responsible enough that she sought out an avenue of rehabilitation that was unaligned with the state. She wasn't depending upon the state to help her.
It certainly was impressive, Your Honor, and it certainly appears to be impressive that she has maintained sobriety and they were helpful in that regard. However, she did disobey the trial court's orders in this case to seek inpatient treatment here in Colorado. It was certainly impressive what she did, but she was in non-compliance with the court's orders.
So we're talking about not complying with a court order, certainly complying with the spirit of it, but not complying to the letter with the court order here, although the mother here felt that it was absolutely imperative for her well-being to get out from the milieu in which she was involved. So from your perspective, the most important thing has to be the rehabilitation of the parent.
Of course, Your Honor. And I just wanted to point out again that that is only one aspect of the treatment plan that was ordered, the substance abuse treatment.
You said you were going to respond to our questions primarily, okay, and rely on your response to the petition. What, if any, efforts were made by the Colorado Department after the permanency plan was adopted to continue to reunify this family after mom moved to Montana?
Well, Your Honor, there were numerous additional measures taken to attempt to reunify this case. Let me first answer the court, and then I'm going to go back and explain a little bit. The department sought out numerous experts to help look at the possibility of reunifying with mother, at the possibility of even moving children from their current foster homes to relative placements, who eventually got approved, though it took some time. They did make reasonable efforts all along the way, and there was quite a bit of testimony from quite a few experts on that issue of attempts to reunify.
How about visitation?
I'm sorry?
How about visitation?
Visitation, Your Honor, I hope the Court of Appeals understands that, again, there was a reference to a June order for visitation. There was no June order. The court in this case ordered in March of
entered nunc-pro-tunc or something?
No, it was not nunc-pro-tunc. It was entered in open court on March 28th that
2007,
correct, that the mother would be allowed visitation one time per week, and two times per week if possible. And the court also at that time ordered that the mother would go into inpatient drug and alcohol rehab at Salvation Army and or entered a treatment plan. So those three things happened at the March 28th order, March 20th hearing. As I explained in my response, and as was brought out in great detail at the trial, that order was not signed by the judge until it was, I think we go through this laborious kind of archaic process of sending it to all counsel and having them have their say about what happened at the hearing, so that if my interpretation of the court's order is in fact correct. So although the court did enter its order on March 28th of 2007, it is signed in June. And I believe the terminology used is this order is entered and effective on this date of March 28th, 2007, signed by the judge on this date. Okay. The court should also understand that after that March 28th order was issued by the court in open court with all parties present, the case completely broke down. There was no compliance whatsoever by respondent parents. They themselves stopped coming to the visitation. They were ordered to do this visitation one time per week, two times if possible. We set up a process for therapeutic visitation so they could receive feedback and work on the relationship with the children. But due to continued drug use and the problems with the family, mother just dropped off the face of the earth. By May, she was gone. We didn't know where she was. She had herself stopped coming to these visitations. So by the time she contacted the caseworker on May 22nd of 2007 to say she was leaving the state, And the reason given was to get away from her significant others, her significant other in this case, and to seek treatment. There had been no visitation for weeks because at her mother's own...
But there had been no modification of the order.
There had been notification to the court that things had broken down.
There had been no modification of the order.
There was no actual second order.
Let me interrupt there too. This all occurred soon after March 28th, 2007 that you're talking about.
Cool.
I'm having difficulty understanding the relevance of that to whether or not the mother was fit to be a parent of these children in January of 2009. How does that relate when we have this testimony about the recovery and the change that she has made in her life as of 2009 for the last 18 months? Can we go back to March 28th, 2007 and use that information to find her unfit in January of 2009?
Well, that is not the information the court relied upon. The court relied upon certainly the substance abuse treatment is significant, that she sought this treatment. Now, it's not like the treatment wasn't offered in Colorado. It was. She made her decision to leave the state and pursue her own agenda. She didn't want to have anything to do with this caseworker. She didn't want to have anything to do with the court. She wanted to leave and get away and go on her merry way and do what she wanted to do. And that's what she did.
Well, I'll ask the same question that I asked of Ms. Carlson. Under those circumstances, what, if any, obligation does the Colorado Department have to continue to try to reunify the family while the mother is out of state?
I think the department clearly has an obligation. And I think it could have been done in a way that it would have resulted in reunification. If mother had been able to come to the table and recognize that, yes, okay, I've worked really hard on substance abuse treatment. Now I need to conquer my mental health treatment. Now I need to work on my relationship with my children. Now I need to recognize that my drug abuse and my habits back in 2006 and 2007 harm my children. They are fearful of me. They don't want to see me anymore. They're afraid of being left without food and neglected. I need to work on those things now. That never happened. She never could acknowledge the allegations that the children were making about the harm that they had suffered while in her care. She never could acknowledge it. She never could reconcile with it. She never could work with the children, therefore, on getting back to the point where we have a healthy relationship and we're going to reestablish visits. She was given that opportunity many times. It was discussed.
How could she work on those problems if she did not have the opportunity to visit with the children, and if the department did not grant her request, or at least, if not grant her request, at least challenge her bluff? In other words, if she's saying, I'll come back to Colorado at any time to visit, and the department doesn't believe that, then why wouldn't the department say, okay, come back next week and we'll start some visits and see if that would occur?
I believe the department did offer that opportunity, Your Honor. I believe the department offered again and again, let's start into some family therapy. Let's look at these issues. Let's address this in therapy. The problem was that mother and her aligned counselors at Southwest Chemical Dependency just insisted that there was nothing else to be addressed, that the substance abuse problem was taken care of, and that, you know, she needed to be reunified with her children. They didn't understand, they never would understand and listen to the fact that there was a big process that needed to occur before we could talk about reunification and resuming visitation.
Can you direct us to somewhere in the record that indicates those efforts made by the department?
Your Honor, if...
Quite frankly, I can't see that in the record, but if I'm missing it, I'd like to be...
If the court would look at the testimony of the caseworker, as well as the testimony of Terry James Banks from the Kemp Center, the START team at the Kemp Center, these things were discussed with the mother.
Okay.
Your Honor, I know my time is really limited now, but I did want to just, if the court doesn't have any further questions, then I'm happy to just continue addressing questions. But I do believe that the court made significant findings of clear and convincing evidence that were presented by testimony at the trial on the reasonable efforts made by the Department of Human Services to reunify. Addressing issue number three, I want to point out again that the treatment plan required numerous other things rather than just the substance abuse treatment. The statement was made to the court earlier that the mother complied with all of the all of the requirements of the treatment plan except her foster care fees. That is absolutely incorrect. The treatment plan required that she provide financial support for her children. She never paid a dime in foster care fees. To stay informed in the case, she reluctantly made contact with the caseworker and refused to engage and have a good dialogue of what else needed to happen on the case. And I'm sorry, Your Honor, my time is up.
I have one question before we conclude, however. And with regard to what we were just talking about the Kemp Center's testimony, the worker from Kemp Center and the caseworker's testimony about continuing to offer mom or to try to work out therapy with mom on family issues in addition to alcohol or substance abuse issues, did the department here, the department in Colorado, ever contact the Montana Family Services or Department of Human Services and say, look, we have this problem with this family, mom's up there, kids are down here, how are we going to work this out and try to get together to be able to do that and maybe transfer the case to Montana if necessary and the children?
Well, Your Honor, there were several occasions where there was communication between the two states. Montana was very clear that it really couldn't offer any services. There was reference in the earlier argument to there having been a letter from the Montana Department saying that all the Department of Clear Creek County Department needed to do was request help and that it would have readily been provided. That letter was not a part of the evidence at trial. I don't even know what is being referred to there. That did not happen in my memory. But yes, there was some communication, primarily because once mother had another child with her significant other, who she left for Montana to get away from, the department did notify the Montana department that there had been a new child born. It could be a drug affected child, and to you know, they might want to do a home study, and that did happen. They did not find any evidence of drugs in the baby, and they found that the home appeared to be not of problem. That was the limit of the direct contact with Montana. It is not possible, Your Honor, to transfer a case across state lines unless, and it would not leave Clear Creek County even if that had happened. If there were a child in out-of-home placement in another state through an interstate compact of placement for children agreement, we would be working with that state on the treatment needs, the protection issues for those children. But in this case, the children were here. Mother just left to go to Montana. So it was very hard to work with, it was not possible to work with Montana Department of Human Services, and it was very difficult to work with Southwest Chemical Dependency because of their very emphatic belief that everything that needed to be done was being done there by them.
Thank you, Ms. Tebow.
Thank you.
Ms. Carlson, in light of giving Ms. Tebow some extra time, we're gonna give you a minute to rebut.
As to Ms. Tebow's point that she says my client did not acknowledge the things that had happened to her children, there's testimony from the social worker in Montana that she was working on that issue and that she had acknowledged what her drug abuse had done to her children. And I wanted to make sure the court knows that this is my client. Secondly, would like to point out to the court that this woman felt that she had lost her children and the most important thing to her was to try and get them back. She knew she couldn't do that if she stayed in Idaho Springs, and she had to have a clean start. And she was right. I mean, it worked. She has now been almost 2.5 years sober. Part of the issue that Judge Granger was talking about was that she might relapse in the future, and that, you know, it hadn't been a long enough period of time. But anyone who makes this kind of a change, there's always a possibility they can relapse. So there would be no point in ever trying to get your children back through all of the things that she did to try and get them back. And there was absolutely no testimony that after June of 2007, she was ever offered a visit. I came into the case in June of 2008 and discussed it with her prior counsel. And she also informed me that there were no visits. They had decided on termination as of June of 2007. It says so in their records.
Thank you, Ms. Carlson, and thank you again, Ms. Tebow. The matter is deemed submitted, and you can expect a written opinion to issue in due course. That completes our afternoon docket on these two cases, and the bailiff may announce the recess.
All right. The court will be in recess subject to